84. Psalm 84. I'll be reading from there this morning. And that's page 811 of the Pew Bible. Page 811. And we did have a memory verse this week. It was Psalm 84, verse 10. If you would, please say that with me. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Well, if you would, please stand for the reading of God's word. Hear the word of the Lord. To the choir master, according to the Gittith, a psalm of the sons of Korah. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy, or they cry out to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Amen. Please be seated. Congregation of Christ, I've heard it said before, I'm sure you have as well, home is where your heart is. Home is where your heart is. I'd like to ask you this morning, where is your heart? Where is your heart? Where is your home? And we're a people torn between two homes as Christians. We have a home here on earth, and yet we long to be home with the Lord, don't we? We long to be in heaven with Jesus Christ. Home is where your heart is. And that's really what we see in Psalm 84. We see the psalmist longing to be home with the Lord. I'd like to look at that in three movements this morning. First, longing for the tabernacle or the dwelling place there of the Lord. And then he tabernacled among us. That is, Christ tabernacled among us. He dwelt among us. And then finally, take me to the tabernacle. Take me to the dwelling place of the Lord. As we look at home is where the heart is, we understand that the presence of God is the greatest thing a Christian can ever experience. So as we open the psalm then, we notice right away that the psalmist, the sons of Korah, tell us exactly what they're trying to communicate in verse 1. It says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts." Right away, we know what they're after. They're after praising the Lord. And what's the problem? My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out. They sing for joy to the living God. The problem is not, like many psalms, that he's discouraged. He needs to work up faith within himself to praise the Lord. That's not the problem. He's not being chased by enemies. He's not taking his life in his hands. His problem is he's tasted and seen that the Lord is good and he can't get enough. His problem is that he loves the Lord and he can't get enough of the Lord. He's not in the dwelling place of God at this moment. He's not in the tabernacle, the dwelling place, the temple of the Lord of hosts at the moment. And he wishes he was with everything within him. He wishes that he was. His soul, or his life in the Hebrew, is crying out. It's fainting. It's longing to be in the presence of the Lord, the living God. It's a picture of Eden. Be with the Lord, the living God, the God of life. That idea of life is a theme throughout this psalm. We see in the presence of God, there is the fullness of life right there with God's house. And boys and girls, you see that word there, the Lord of hosts. What does the Lord of hosts mean? We don't talk this way very much today, do we? When I think of a host, I think of somebody having friends over for dinner. That's not what the Lord of hosts is. The Lord of hosts is the Lord of multitudes. We could say the Lord of trillions upon trillions. And Lord there is God's covenant name. It's I am that I am, Yahweh, Jehovah. The psalmist is saying that he is the covenant God of a multitude. God's church is huge. God's dwelling place is infinitely huge. That's the idea. He longs to be with the Lord, and yet he's not quite there yet. And then he looks, and he sees inside the temple. What does he see in verse 3? Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, raise her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praises. In the Bible, sparrows were considered rather worthless. In Christ's time, we find that the sparrow was sold for a farthing. You could buy five for two farthings. A farthing was a quarter of a penny. It was next to nothing. The sparrow, the worthless ones of this world, they find a home at the altar of our God. The swallow, he's poetically doubling down on that bird imagery. The swallow was a picture of the bird fluttering about, never at home, never at rest. The restless one finds a home at the altar of God and sets up a nest. We see flourishing at God's altar with the swallow. The worthless, the restless, they come to God's house and they find life is the picture. And the psalmist wishes, oh, that I were there. My heart and soul cry out to be in the house of the Lord. Blessed is the one who comes into God's house praising his name. That's what you and I were made to do. If your life feels pointless, it will be pointless until you find your purpose in worshiping God. The Westminster Shorter Catechism says that man's purpose, the chief end of man, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. We were made to worship God. That is where the fullness of life is. It's in God's dwelling place, worshiping the Lord. And then the psalmist moves on. He looks at another blessed one. So he's giving one beatitude. Here's another beatitude. Verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways, and then to Zion is implied. Those who find their strength in the Lord are blessed. Even young men grow weary and fall, but those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles and soar. Where is your strength this morning? Is it in the Lord or yourself? I would encourage you, look to the Lord for strength. Look to his house. These are the ones who have the highway to Zion in their heart. What does that mean to have the highway to Zion in your heart? It means even though I can't be in the tabernacle this day, even though I can't enter into the temple, in my heart I'm constantly thinking about, I'm constantly meditating on the Lord. I wish I was there. I'm crying out. One day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. They have a devotional life, in other words. They're practicing personal piety. They're thinking about the Lord, meditating on him, going to the Lord in the prayer closet, going to the Lord with their personal Bible reading. And I would encourage you, one of the best things I ever got from Mr. Powers in Sunday school was make a devotional plan. Make this a priority in your life, young people especially. Make a goal. Make an observable goal that you can record on paper. Say, you know, maybe I'm not reading my Bible right now like I should. Maybe I only read my Bible once in a while. Maybe I should make a goal. What if I read it 3 times a week? And then I ask one of my brothers or sisters in the youth group, hey, can you hold me accountable to this? Can you check up on me, see how much I'm reading? Can you check up on me, see how my prayer life is? That's a beautiful thing. That's what the highway to Zion looks like in our life. Make that plan. I would encourage you today. Grab somebody. Talk to me. I'd love to make a devotional plan with you if you don't have one already. Get that highway to Zion well-worn in your heart. And what does the psalmist say? He says that these pilgrims, as they go to Zion, they have to go through the valley of Baca in verse 6. And as they go through the valley of Baca, it becomes a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. And each one appears before God in Zion. Zion is Jerusalem. It's the dwelling place of God. It's where the temple was, Mount Zion. And as they go through the valley of Baca, they will end up there. They go from strength to strength. But what is the valley of Baca? Well, the commentators were a bit confused by this. It seems to be a literal place, very dry place going through the desert. But there's a pun in Hebrew. The word Baca can also be Baca-ing. It's which means weeping. This is the valley of weeping. And this is poetry, so there's usually double meanings to words, things like that. And so as the pilgrims are going to Jerusalem, as they go to worship the Lord, where do they pass through? They pass through the valley of weeping, the valley of the shadow of death. And the picture there is that as they're going through, God sends the early rains in the valley of weeping. I take that to be their tears. Poetically speaking, as the pilgrims are marching to Jerusalem, the Lord sends tears to the pilgrims. And those tears water the earth. And the desert place begins to bloom as the Lord covers it with pools, or literally blessings. The tears of the pilgrims are blessings to the desert, and it causes it to become not a place of death, but a place of life. But they did not set out to camp in the valley of Baca, did they? And so the Lord will see them through to Zion. They will go to the house of the Lord and dwell in his presence forever, is the idea. Each one goes from strength to strength and appears before God in Zion. But where is their strength found? In verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. His strength is not found in himself. Right? He says, blessed is the man whose strength is where? Verse 5. Blessed is the one whose strength is in you. And so he calls out to the Lord for strength. He calls out to the Lord for help. Lord, see me through. And he multiplies the names and titles of the Lord here. It's Yahweh Elohim Sabaoth, Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. God of Jacob, hear my prayer. So he cries out to the Lord in prayer. So should we when we need strength. We need to be practicing prayer. And he calls on the Lord and he says, behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. And he's talking here about the king. He's not just, you know, a political person. He's calling on the Lord to bless the king because the king is the one who defends Jerusalem. The king is the one who defends the highway to church, in other words. Without the king doing his job, the temple will get sacked. And then where will he go to worship the Lord? Where will the Lord's presence be if the temple is not there? So he calls on the Lord, Lord, protect your king, bless him, that I might go and worship you. Why? Because, verse 10, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. This is the good life. This is the life of Eden, to be in God's house, praising his name. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And as he enters the temple, he sees that picture of life restored, paradise lost, paradise regained, in a sense, there in the temple. Oh, how I want to go to temple. We see here, this is the Psalm 1 type of man in our psalm today. Psalm 84 is a Psalm 1 man. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord's law his delight, who meditates upon it day and night. Let's be Psalm 1 men and women. Let's walk the path of life and not the path of death. That's what the tents of wickedness are, really. It's the path of death that leads to destruction. The Lord will destroy them. He'll blow them like scattered chaff in the wind. But those who walk uprightly, no good thing will the Lord withhold from them. He would rather have a humble position as a doorkeeper in the house of God than have a mansion in hell, is the idea. The doorkeeper was a very humble position. Basically, what the psalmist is saying, I would rather be living at the threshold of a house. I would rather be just on the cusp of getting in than have it all without the Lord. I'd rather wander 40 years in the presence but have the God of promise with me than go to the promised land without the promising God. I need the presence of God in my life, and so do you. That's what the psalmist is communicating. I would rather be a doorkeeper. I would rather be humble but have God than have everything without him. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor, literally grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. The Lord God is a sun. He's the one who gives life. He makes the plants grow. As he waters, or as he gives sunlight to the water of our tears, the desert blooms. This world begins to bloom. He's also the shield. He's the protector of life. He's the provider and protector of life and the world. He's the living God. And in his presence is life. He gives grace and he gives glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. How do they walk uprightly? O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. We walk uprightly by faith, by looking to the Lord in faith. It's by faith that we walk uprightly. And when we get to the presence of the Lord in Zion, when we finally reach Zion, though we stand on Jordan's stormy banks, we shall cross over into the presence of the Lord in heaven. No good thing will he withhold from us. There'll be blessings forevermore in heaven. That is where our blessings will be, in the presence of God. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who has faith in Jesus Christ. That's the message of this psalm. He longs to be in the tabernacle. And yet so often when I talk to people outside of this church, I hear them say, yeah, this is Old Testament. This is Old Testament. I'm a New Testament Christian. I don't need the Old Testament. I'm a New Testament believer. You call them on sin. You say, well, that's Old Testament. We need the New Testament. Brothers and sisters, we are whole Bible believers. When the early church met, they didn't preach the New Testament because they didn't have it yet. They preached Christ from the Old Testament. And I want to tell you today, this is a song of Christ. Now, how we understand it, we have to understand what God has done in history. His redemptive acts have changed how we understand this. We don't need to go to a piece of real estate in Palestine to know God's presence. No. God has tabernacled among us in Jesus Christ. His redemptive history has fulfilled what the temple was all about. It's fulfilled everything that the tabernacle was a picture of. And I remember the lesson that Bill Spanger gave when he came here about spot the dog. I'm sure some of you remember. It was a memorable one. You have a picture of a dog you show your kids every week before Christmas, and you say, hey, kids, this is Spot. Don't you love Spot? Spot's going to come and be with you forever. How wonderful. And the kids all take the photograph of Spot and they play with the photograph of Spot and they love Spot. Oh, we love Spot. And Christmas is coming, Christmas is coming. The kids love the photograph. And then Christmas morning and the tree is the gift is under the tree. And you see the gift box, it starts shaking. There's a dog in there, there's Spot. They open the gift and there's Spot. And they say, no, that's not Spot. Give me the photograph. That's what the temple was like. It was never really about a building. It was never really about the tent. It was a picture pointing forward to the ultimate presence of God in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and tabernacled among us. In him, the fullness of deity dwelt among us in human flesh. In his body, heaven and earth were made one. On the cross, he opened a new and living way that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord could be saved, that we could come in through his atonement to the presence of the Lord and know the fellowship of God the Father through the Spirit. Jesus Christ says as much when he says, I'm going to destroy this temple and raise it up in 3 days. He was talking about the temple of his body. He says as much in John 4 when he talks to the woman at the well. The woman at the well, the Samaritan, is saying, your fathers say that we need to worship in Zion, at Jerusalem, but our fathers say we need to worship at Mount Gerizim here in Samaria. Who's right? And what does Christ say? Woman, the time is coming and now is when those who worship the Lord shall worship him in spirit and truth. Because we worship in Christ. By the Spirit, we worship the Father through Christ and the Holy Spirit. And so this is a song of Christ. Christ is the temple. Look at this with me. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. How lovely is Christ. That's what the psalmist is saying in our era. Our soul longs, yes, faints to be with Christ. Our heart and our flesh cry out to be with the Lord, to be with Christ. Even the sparrow, the worthless ones, find a home. Even the swallow, the restless ones, find a home where they can begin to flourish. I think of St. Augustine, where he said, I was restless until I found my rest in you. Then he began to flourish, even though he lived a wild life before. You know, illegitimate children, party boy, you know, then he found rest in the Lord. He began to flourish, probably one of the most influential Christians to ever live outside of the Bible. He was a swallow, many worthless ones, ones who turned their back on the Lord, who would rather go after sin and shame. They find a home where? At the altar of God, at the cross where Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for the ungodly, the worthless, the restless. That is where we find rest in Jesus Christ, the altar of our God. He is our Savior. He is the one we find help in. Ask him to send out his light and his truth to lead you to his holy hill, his dwelling place, that we may dwell in his house forever, singing his praise. Blessed are those who do so. Christ has opened the new and living way to the Father. He was the veil of the temple. That's why the veil of the temple was torn as he was crucified. Blessed are the ones whose strength is in Christ, in whose heart is the highway to Zion. They go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. God sends the early rain and he covers the earth with blessings. Each one goes from strength to strength, or as the Apostle Paul says, glory to glory. Though we die, yet shall we live. It's one degree of glory to the next. Each one appears before God in Zion. If you have the pathway to Zion in your heart, if Jesus Christ has sent his Spirit upon you and given you faith, he who began a good work in you will see it through to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. He will not leave you halfway in the valley of Baca. No, you didn't set out to make camp here in the valley of Baca. You set out to make it to Zion. And each one whose strength is in the Lord will make it to Zion. We believe in the perseverance of the saints. Each and every Christian will make it home to that heavenly Zion as we make our pilgrimage through this weary land. Jehovah will lead us home. How? It's not fatalism. We cry out to the Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer, give ear, O God of Jacob. Cry out to the Lord, you who think you stand, lest you fall. Cry to the Lord for help. Cry to the Lord for strength in your time of need, in your hour of temptation, in the dark night of the soul. Cry out to the Lord in prayer. Ask for grace. He will give you strength. He is our ever-present help in time of need. And how do we pray? Do we pray because we're worthy of God hearing our prayers? No. We ask him, behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed one. That is literally Messiah in the Hebrew. Look on the face of your Messiah. Look on the face of your Christ. Look upon Jesus Christ and hear our prayers for his sake. Lord, would you help us, see us through to Zion, that we might come to your house and worship you forever. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be homeless than have a home without God. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. I think of the song, take this world and give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. I want to go home. I want to be with the Lord. The Lord is the sun. He's the shield, the provider, the protector of life. He'll give you grace. He'll give you glory. He'll give you every good and perfect thing in Christ Jesus as we come home to that heavenly Zion. That is what he promises to those who trust in him, who have faith in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is a song of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a picture of the Christian life. Well, we know as well that Christ is the dwelling place of God. He tabernacled among us to bring life into the world, and he brought life as he poured out his Spirit upon all flesh at Pentecost. He ascended, brought our flesh to heaven, and then poured his Spirit out upon us that we might become the temple of the living God, says the Apostle Paul. You are the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we see the new creation begin in Christ and begin spiritually in our hearts as we are resurrected, spiritually speaking, by the Holy Ghost. If anyone is in Christ, new creation. Christ is the first fruits. We shall be raised. Though we die physically, we shall be raised physically in the new heavens and the new earth when everything is made right. The whole earth will be full of the glory of the Lord. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. And we see this movement really fulfilled at the end of the Psalter in Psalm 150. So we see everything that has life and breath praise the Lord. And then also in Revelation chapter 21, John's vision of the new heavens and the new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, that is the church, coming down from heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place. What have we been talking about? The dwelling place of God is with man. Emmanuel, God with us. He will dwell with them and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe every tear, every bakaing, away from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. God's temple is the new heavens and the new earth. As Christ becomes all and in all, we praise his name and we look forward to that heavenly Zion when everything will be united in heaven and earth, praising God's name for all eternity. What a blessed hope. As we come together to worship, we experience a bit, a foretaste of that as we enter in by our prayers and our praises into the one worship service that everyone participates in, which is the worship service of heaven. What a privilege. As we come to church, we experience a foretaste of that, not by sight, but by faith. So let us make this a priority in our lives. Well, as I was considering what to say this week, I had all sorts of thoughts going through my mind. You know, it's one thing to explain the Scripture. It's one thing to search the Scripture. It's another thing to have the Scripture search you. And as I opened the psalm, I began to wrestle with it later in the week, and I said, I haven't done half my work yet. I have not had my heart laid open to the Lord in prayer as I've been looking at this psalm. And I had to ask myself, where is your heart? Home is where your heart is. Where is your heart? Can I say with the psalmist, how lovely is your dwelling place? Can I say that my life longs, yes, faints, to be in the presence of the Lord? Or have I become too comfortable? Have I become at ease in Zion? Am I comfortable with my day to day? Would I rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord? Or would I rather have my own little kingdom here in the valley of Baca? And thank the Lord that our salvation is not dependent upon how well we love Him. It's dependent on His finished work on the cross. Thank the Lord. But our response should be one of love. It should be one of thankfulness. And I was gripped by verse 6, because you know what? We are going through the valley of weeping here. This is the desert place. This is the closest to hell any of us will ever be if we are in Christ. And yet I had to ask myself, where is the weeping in the valley of weeping? Do I weep over the fate of those around me as I look out and I see the spiritual wasteland that is New York? As I look out and I see the spiritual desert that is the United States of America, this world that has turned its back on Christ, this world who does not want anything to do with the dwelling place of God, do I weep? Scripture says we should be sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Knowing the presence of the Lord in service should give us joy, and yet we go out into this world that's turned its back on God, and we know that we should be weeping. And what happens when we weep? The psalm says that God will send the early rain and cover it with pools of blessings. That's the tears of the saints. That's the tears of the pilgrims. You want to see revival in this land? I think it comes through the valley of tears. I think it comes through weeping as God pours out the early rain of our tears. Yes, He even adds the latter rain of the Holy Ghost when He pours out His Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy of Christ. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. They will sing the praises of Christ in His temple forevermore. I think that's where revival starts. I think it starts with mourning for sin, mourning for my lack of love for Christ, and looking to Him and asking Him, Lord, would You let me into Your temple? Would You let me see Your face? Your face, Lord, I would seek. Give me faith. We need to pray for this. We need to pray for a greater desire of the Lord. That's where joy is. It's in being just a doorkeeper to the temple. As Christians, that's what we are. We're at the cusp of the new creation. We need to pray for desire. We need to pray for God to send the rain. And I couldn't help but think of James, where it says, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And then he goes on to explain, who was the righteous man who he's talking about? He's talking about Elijah. Elijah was a man like unto us. He had a nature not unlike ours. And yet he prayed once, and the Lord withheld the rain for how long? 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again. And what happened? The Lord sent the rain in buckets. That's what happened. We need to pray for rain. We need to pray that the Lord would send a desire to be with Him, a desire to see the new creation in our hearts and in this world around us. That should be our hopes. That should be our heart's desire each week as we come to the Lord's house. I'll close with this. The thing that really got to me this week as I was thinking about this was remembering one of our hymn sings that we had one evening. And one of the saints who's no longer with us, Hank Sr., requested a gospel song that I don't think any of us had ever heard before. It was kind of obscure, but it was, you know, basically, I'm just ready to go be with the Lord in heaven. I want to go. I want to be with the Lord. I want to be with the loved ones that I've lost. Lord, how long until I can come into your presence? And I think we all kind of gave a deep sigh when we sang that song. It was moving. I thought, man, there is somebody who's miles ahead of me in the faith. I need that desire in my heart. I think we all do, to be with the Lord in heaven. Let us set our mind on things above. Let's make our home in heaven where our heart is with Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word testifies of Christ. Lord, we thank you that your dwelling place is with man through Christ Jesus, our Lord, God in the flesh. And Lord, we thank you that you've sent your Spirit upon us to dwell with us. Father, we long for the day when we shall enter in behind the pearly gates to that heavenly Zion to be with you forevermore, in your house forever, Lord, singing your praises. Father, give us faith to believe the gospel, that even though we are unworthy, even though we are worthless, we have nothing to recommend us, we are unprofitable servants, you receive us by the merit and blood of Jesus Christ at the altar of the cross. Father, we thank you so much for the forgiveness of sins that is in Christ Jesus alone, and it's in him that we find our strength and our hope. Lord, receive our praises by his blood's work, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.